You would take your Bibles and turn along with me. We're going to study a little bit about what it means to be a Christian. At times, it is not easy to take a stand for the truth, especially when it appears everybody else is going a different direction than what God says we need to do. And as we look around us, it's getting harder as the years pass by. I've noticed there's a distinct trend. Many people have noticed, commented on and noted it, that there's a distinct trend in the United States to move further and further away from the teachings of the Bible. And people are social creatures. We want to think that other people are like us. And when we're forced to see differences, sometimes people will even go out of their way to insist that others speak and behave the way they think and behave. The problem, though, is that standard is one of ourselves, not of God. We look at it and say, well, this is the way I do things, so therefore everybody else ought to do it the same way I do. People, though, like ourselves and make mistakes. And when we rely upon ourselves as our standard, we're going to drift further and further away from what the truth is. In fact, if you ever get an opportunity to go into a new society, we watch other people and what they do and try to imitate them. I've had a couple of times where I've gone to foreign countries, and that's what you spend a lot of time doing is, I don't want to make a social mistake of some sort. So you watch what everybody else does, and you figure out whether you need to pick up the fork now or do they eat with some other utensil. And again, though, the problem is that we put standards on people. When we start doing that for our behavior, when we start saying this is what's right and this is what's wrong, and we start looking at other people as examples, and that's all we look at, then again, we use people as our standards, and people make mistakes. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and in verse 1, Romans 12, verse 1, says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. As Christians, we are not to conform ourselves to the world. That is not our standard, to decide what is right and what is wrong. Now, the problem is that when we start going against the grain, and sometimes that's going to happen, the world's going to go its way. But when we go against the grain, people don't like us. Jesus warned about this in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, starting with verse 18. John 15, verse 18, says that the world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. What was true for the disciples is true for us today as disciples of Christ. If you look at what Jesus did, what he stood for, and what he taught, there's nothing there that is controversial as far as things that ought to be acceptable to anybody. But because it was different from what the religious leaders wanted taught, because it was different from what other people thought ought to be taught, Jesus was crucified. And we should not be surprised that when we stand for truth, there are going to be people out there that are going to hate us. Not just disagree with us, outright hate us. In John 17, and in verse 9, when Jesus prayed for his disciples. He said, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on the behalf of the world, but those who are to whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And among the things that Jesus prayed for, down in verse 15, he says, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth. Thou didst send me into the world, and I have sent them into the world. It's not leaving the world, but leaving the evil of the world is what Christians have to do. It's tempting to try to escape criticism or persecution by appearing to be like everyone else. But Jesus wants us to be different, not for difference's sake, not for the sake of just being contrary to everybody else, but to hold on to what is right, because most of the world doesn't really care about the matters of right and wrong. In fact, think about the pressures that are building up in the world today. If you disagree with about homosexuality, that is an acceptable alternative lifestyle, where are you labeled? You're instantly labeled to be a bigot. You're labeled to be a homophobic. There are all sorts of terms people say that, and all we're saying is, no, it's a sin. Because that's what God has said. The world refuses to understand that God spoke on the matter and declared it to be wrong. In Leviticus 18, Leviticus chapter 18, look at verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is abomination. And in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 26, Romans chapter 1, and in verse 26, it says, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also men abandoned the natural function of the women, and burning their desires toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts, and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. This is not an option for us. God says this is wrong. This is not an alternative lifestyle. It's a sinful lifestyle. In fact, the reason why this kind of came to mind is just recently, one of the popular evidences for homosexuality that's been broadcast quite a bit in the last year was to point out that penguins will sometimes pair off as male-male couples and say, see, it's in a natural world that way. Well, there was an article last week. People are kind of upset. Seems that the female penguin at the zoo where this was always touted in San Francisco, of all places, she lost her mate. And one of the paired off males left the male and went to the female. Oh, but homosexuality, you're not supposed to be able to change your behavior. And oh, by the way, they didn't mention, right at the very end of the article, I was surprised, right at the end, very end, there was this little blurb, oh, by the way, they have a lot more male penguins than they do females in a zoo. In other words, it's an artificial environment that they created. And given a more natural environment, the penguins went back to a natural way of behavior. You see, the point isn't what is right or what is wrong. The world pushes what it wants to believe in any way, shape, or form. Another thing that got me thinking about this is there was a study that came out just recently called titled Young Adults' Attitudes About Relationships and Marriages Times may have changed, but expectations remain high. Long title. But there's tons of information in there that I found very fascinating. I'm going to do something with it one of these days. But one of the things it mentions is, and that I didn't realize has gotten this bad. Did you know that 90% of 20 to 24-year-olds now report that they've had sex? And only 21% were married? I've known it's been trending towards getting worse, but it's getting really bad. So it's not surprising that 57% agree that it's okay for unmarried couples to live together, even if marriage is not being considered. An additional 19% were neutral on the statement. In other words, about 75% of people, young people, don't see anything wrong with two people living together, even if they're not even considering marriage. So what happens when Christians state, that's wrong, that's a sin? I can tell you what happens. They look at you and think, huh? It's what? What gives you that right to say that? Another example, I received a letter just a couple days ago from another person, very upset that I pointed out spanking is one of the several ways listed in the scriptures for disciplining a child. Was there any scripture to back this person's opposition? No. Rather, she lists numerous experts, and I put that in quotes, who oppose spanking. And you know what the basic argument was? Well, everyone else says it's wrong, so you should too. And that's the point that we ought to understand. That's the way the world functions. Everyone ought to conform to what people think is true. Of course, that's the same argument we used to give as kids, too. But everybody else has a lunchbox. I want a new lunchbox, too. And that's the way we argue things. It doesn't matter whether that's true or not. So what happens to the righteous when they don't conform to the world, but they conform to God's will? Because we were called out of the world. We're called out of darkness. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The world is heading into darkness and is getting darker every day. We are called out of that into God's light. What you see in the denominations is in their eagerness to increase their numbers, many of the denominational churches have accommodated themselves to an unbelieving world. One of the latest fads in the last decade or so has been to survey regions to find out what people want in a church and then implement it. Has nothing to do with whether it's right or wrong. That doesn't consider in mind. What do people want? And then that's what we got to have. So entertainment is considered a must in order to attract young people. I lost track of how many times I've gotten phone calls where people said, well, what do you have for the young people? We teach the Bible. Well, what else do you do? Well, we have Bible classes. Young people sometimes get together and we study. Well, don't you have carnivals or, I don't know what they're looking for. A church is there to teach the truth. That's the purpose of it. But people think that you have to have entertainment in order to attract young people. Or another fad is the health and wealth message. Saying, you know, church is all about building wealth and building your health, and it might attract numbers, but it doesn't save souls. Because what people are looking for is an easy faith. A true faith isn't always easy. In fact, take a look at Mark. It's an incident that many of us know. It's about that rich young ruler that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. And in verse 17, it says that he was setting out on a journey. A man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus tells him the things that he needs to do. And he says, "I've done all these things. What more do I need to do?" And what's interesting is down in verse 21, it says, "And looking at him, Jesus felt love for him and said to him, 'One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But at these words his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property." You know how many people in the Lord's church would be upset if you drove somebody away with such a statement? I was having a discussion with somebody just the other day because one of their elders didn't want him to mention that, you know, when you live with a lady that you're supposed to be married to her, and so before you can become a Christian, you need to take care of that problem because that's fornication. Well, we can take care of that after he's baptized. No. He's in sin. It needs to be taken care of. That's what that word repentance means. But we have people that want to conform to the world. They want to make things easy. Have you ever thought, why didn't Jesus make it easy for this young man? Why did he pick that particular thing to mention? Because that man was willing to do just about anything. And that's the point. Just about anything. There are certain things he wasn't willing to give up. There are certain things he had higher priority in his life than God. And Jesus got to the core of that problem. Sometimes it's hard. And have you ever thought, why did Jesus do that? Why is it that Jesus pointed out the very hardest thing that that man could have faced? It says it in that verse, and we skip right over it. For looking at him, in verse 21, Jesus felt a love for him. He had compassion. He wanted that man saved. Not just a disciple in words, but actually saved. Sometimes opposition strengthens. How do you get physically stronger? Well, you run against your tendency to stay still, because that makes you stronger. You lift weights against that tendency for the weights that want to stay on the floor, because it makes you stronger. Opposition by the world makes the church stronger. And it might be rough, it might be difficult, but the end result is strength. The apostles led the way. They faced quite a bit of pressure. In Acts chapter 5, they were told not to preach in Jesus' name. They didn't want the political leaders, they're basically their Supreme Court, gathered together and says, "We don't care, just stop teaching about Jesus." And in verse 29, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than man." There are certain things, it's out of your control. God is a higher authority. Now, as a result of this and the continued teachings, the Jewish people began raising their persecution of the church. And you get to chapter 8, in verse 1, it says, "And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen, and a loud lamentation was made over him. But Saul began ravaging the church and entering house after house, dragging off men and women, and he would put them in prison. Therefore, those who have been scattered went about preaching the word." Think about that. Got so bad that people were literally driven out of town. So what did Christians do? They didn't go into hiding. Move to a new area? Oh, well, start teaching. It made them stronger. And their numbers grew as a result, and their faith grew stronger. But that's what Jesus blessed us with in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 11. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So in other words, don't be surprised. People are going to see Christians as enemies simply because they oppose sin. Going back to John chapter 15. See, Jesus knew that that being a Christian was going to be hard. We're not always going to fit in. And in John 15, again, we'll start reading at verse 18. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are now the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours as well." That's just the way life is. Because we have to choose God's ways over everything else. Over in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, look at verse 33. It says, "So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions." Now, it doesn't mean that we have to, you know, in order to become a Christian, you got to give everything you own away. What he's saying is that you have to be willing to do so. Nothing that you own is more important than being a Christian. In Matthew 16, Matthew 16 and verse 25. It says, "For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." Even your own life cannot be put at front of being what God wants you to be. The world is full of problems. There's hatred, there's strife, there's evil, there's injustice. And it's going to continue throughout life. And as Christians, we are not shielded from those things. Instead, we are called on to go on despite those things. Again, in Luke chapter 9, in verse 23. Luke chapter 9, and in verse 23. And he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross. Don't avoid the burden. Do what's needed to follow Christ. And back in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 38. Matthew 10 verse 38, it says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The question we need to ask is, are we going to follow Jesus this day? Knowing that it's not going to be easy, not going to be always popular. Are we going to be willing to take stands for truth, regardless of what the world might think? What's odd is that oftentimes when we take stand for truth, truth is what makes the world run better. It's what's good for people. They just don't understand it. They don't want to listen to it. Are we willing to make that stand even when we're opposed? Because such opposition is building. There's already been counties that have tried to outlaw Bible studies in homes. San Diego, not too long ago. It's going to get worse. Maybe something will change things around, but that's not the way people are. We got to think about what it means to be a Christian and about standing for truth. If there's anyone here today who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there is anyone who is a child of God, would like the prayers of brethren on the behalf, why don't you come forward if we stand and sing the song, the selection.